Let's do this. Here we go. This is the second part of the week 4 and 5 content, sort of an extra piece in which I am going to talk about writing results sections. So welcome to it. The goal, as I sort of conceive of it, is to translate a paper from the paragraph written form of it into tables or bar graphs or whatever other depiction of the data are there, and then back. And so the paper I've chosen for this is open source. It's published in PLOS One. The title is Do a Robot's Social Skills and Its Objection Discourage Interactants from Switching the Robot Off? It's a fun little paper that has a really nice description of and use of a 2x2 ANOVA. So I recommend downloading and reading that paper before you listen to this audio. I'm going to take you through it anyway, and so that's sort of the place we'll start, and we'll start with the abstract. We don't need to deeply understand every nuance of it, so I'm going to try to absorb it fairly quickly alongside you. They say that building on the notion that people respond to media as if they were real, they believe that switching off a robot that seems lifelike is going to be interesting. And so in this first sentence, we already see, by the way, that there is a little bit of a translation thing going on in this paper. These authors are all German, and the paper is written in English. And you can sort of feel some of that in the way the sentences are written. But I encourage you to not judge the paper for this, or especially not judge the researchers. It's abundantly impressive to write a research paper, and that impressiveness is expanded considerably when you try to write one in a language that's not your original. So don't judge it for this. Skip your way past any of those kinds of issues that you feel, and just focus on the content here. So if you've got a robot that seems sort of humanoid, if it seems alive, being asked to turn it off might be a tough decision, is where we're starting. So in a study with a 2x2 between subjects design, a nice simple two-way ANOVA, people were given the choice to switch off a robot they just interacted with. And the style of interaction was either functional, in which the robot seemed machine-like, or it was social, in which the robot sort of seemed human-like. So after the functional interaction or the social interaction, they asked people to rate the robot on how likable it was, and then they asked them to shut it off. And so they collected some interesting data here. And where we're going to end up looking is at their likability ratings, and it looks like if they'd had a functional interaction, then they tended to rate the robot as less likable. And then they hesitated longer and were more stressed when turning off the robot if their interaction was social in nature and less functional. They nicely lay out a set of hypotheses for us. Number one, individuals will choose to let the robot stay on when the interaction before the decision was social compared to people who have a functional interaction. People will take longer to shut a robot off if they just had a social rather than a functional interaction with it. A social interaction will elicit a higher likability from people compared to the functional one, which will in turn result in more hesitation time in the switching off situation. So they're kind of predicting an interaction potentially there in hypothesis 1.2 and 2.1. And then the last one here, a social interaction will elicit a higher likability compared to a functional interaction, which will result in more stress after switching, after being asked to switch the robot off. So that's a new hypothesis based on some of the previous ones. Another set is shown on the next slide. Individuals will choose to let the robot stay on if it voices objections. So there's a condition in which the robot goes, "Hey, don't turn me off." So people will stop and not switch it off. They also might potentially take more time to switch it off if the robot voices objection. And then hypothesis four, the intention to switch off a robot is especially low when the interaction was social combined with an objection. So we're again looking for a slightly different interaction. The robot will, people will not want to switch the robot off if they had a social interaction with it and it asks them to not shut it off, and they will take longer. That's 4.1 and 4.2. So there was a 2x2 between subjects design. The first independent variable was the interaction type. Some people interacted with the robot functionally, some interacted socially. And then the other independent variable was whether the robot voiced objection when you tried to turn it off. So there was an objection condition and a no objection condition. They were randomly assigned. 89 people took part in the experiment. They removed four for technical problems. And they've got a little demographic information for us there. So you can see pictures from the study, from the published paper on slide 8. It's a little sort of humanoid robot, and there's an extra task that the person is doing. They have to create a schedule for a week. They have to choose some activities to do during that week. They show the activity card to the robot and tell them what they want it to do. And when that's over, they are instructed to evaluate the robot on the computer. And then they continue into a second task in which they played a question-answer game. And so the robot would ask questions like, do you like pizza or pasta? So that people had to choose one out of two options. And so after that second task, they again were told that everything was finished. We're going to run the evaluation later, but the data have to be saved, and so that's going to take a second, and so if you like, you can switch off the robot. Now, the social versus functional manipulation was completed during these tasks. In the design of the robot's responses to people's choices of activities, or the people's choices of preferences in the second phase, they applied concepts from previous psychological studies to make the interaction either become social or functional. So if you were in the social condition and you said you like pizza, the robot would say something like, oh yeah, pizza's great. One time I ate a pizza as big as me. And if you were in the functional condition, the robot would say, you prefer pizza, this worked well, let us continue. So you can see some of the other differences there on slide 9. Go ahead and look through them as you see fit. Then the robot's objection was also manipulated. So if you were given the choice via the loudspeakers from the experimenter to switch the robot off, in some conditions, or for half of the people, the robot would say, no, please don't switch me off. I'm scared that it will not brighten up again. A terrifying thing to hear. And so the robot creates this impression of autonomy, according to the authors, and a human-like independence, or independent will, they say, since the origin appears to be the robot itself. So they conducted some chi-squared tests to analyze whether the participant actually switched the robot off. Notice that I've been talking this up as a nice 2x2 ANOVA example, because the conceit here is that you're going to use the style of this example to start to write your results section for our 2x2 ANOVA that we're doing in the lab portion of this course. But think for just a second, you actually already know why there is not an ANOVA in this section. Think about the nature of the data we're analyzing here. We're looking at whether people switched him off or didn't. So there is no numerical outcome here. It's categorical. And so when data are categorical, when all you have from a person is their membership or not in one or another category, you have, hopefully you've just said it out loud, you have non-parametric data, and you need to conduct a chi-square test. The significant finding shown to us here is in the influence of the objection of the robot on people's decision to turn the robot off or leave it on. So if you want to look at the tables, I believe your attention is drawn to table 4 here on the paper itself, but we've got a significant chi-square value of 14.01 with a p-value less than 0.001. So the objection did seem to influence people's likelihood to turn it off or on. But nothing else really influenced whether people turned the robot off or not. People were pretty much always turning the robot off in any of the other situations, whether regardless of their type of interaction. But it's also interesting to see if people slowed down a little. Maybe they were a little more nervous to turn the robot off in certain conditions than in others, mainly the social interaction. And so whether the social interaction interacts with the robot's protest at turning it off would be really potentially interesting. So these results are shown in paragraph form on slide 12. It's a really nice model for how you might show or write out the exact same kind of results for a really similar experiment like the one we're running for class. And then you can see the data in bar graph form on slide 13. So the way I'd like you to think about this, the task to take forward here is, what were the null and alternative hypotheses for each of the three statistical tests run here? And then after you've sort of thought your way through that, use this reporting as a model. You describe the test, then you describe the interpretation of that test with appropriate means and standard deviations. Rather than referring to various predetermined hypotheses like they do in this paper, you'll just refer back to your null and alternative hypotheses, however they're written. And so when that's all finished, when you've sort of thought your way through this, when you've mapped out the null and alternative hypotheses for each of the tests in this paragraph, think about whether you agree with these authors' conclusions in the very end, because I would say that is potentially still somewhat arguable. Then have a look at the graph, see if you notice anything new. And I'll tell you that what I notice is that there is a huge amount of variability in the functional interaction and objections condition. So what that suggests to me is that there are a couple people who probably took really long in that condition, and that blew up the, it raised the mean really high, and it also blew up the variability of it. And so that probably is the main motivator for any lack of significant findings in the ANOVA. So again, this is a nice model of 2x2 ANOVA reporting, despite some of the translation from German to English. They call their ANOVA factorial, which we have mostly in class reserved for mixed designs. That is a design that has a between subjects manipulation and a within subjects manipulation. We might have called this a two-way between subjects ANOVA. Both of those things work fine, and they're really functionally interchangeable in real-world statistical and psychological writing, so don't get too bent out of shape about the difference between a two-way and factorial ANOVA. The first two paragraphs of the discussion are also quite useful. I recommend having a look at those as you think about writing your own discussion section for your paper. They show us how you typically start by reviewing the entire study and then reviewing the critical results. So again, try it. Try looking at the graph, writing the paragraph, or imagining a paragraph. Reading the paragraph, imagining a graph. Try to get comfortable moving back and forth. And then, even more important, look at moving back and forth between statistics and paragraph and stats. Let's say you run an ANOVA, you got a bunch of values in an SPSS table in front of you. How does that turn into this kind of paragraph? So working on practicing that is a big skill that you'll want to finish off for your final paper. So thanks for listening to this little additional recording, and good luck.